On this week's episode of Work Trends, we're talking what's next in HR tech with Anna Ott. Welcome to the Work Trends podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan Mbiro. Every week, I interview interesting people and brands who are reimagining work. For more information, be sure to check us out at talentculture.com and join us live on Twitter every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern using the hashtag WorkTrends. Today's guest is Anna Ott. She's the head of HR tech startups for the global HR event company Unleash. That's all caps, by the way. Welcome to Work Trends, Anna.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So excited you're here, and we get to see each other in person in Vegas in a number of weeks, right?
Yeah.
How many weeks are we from that?
Vegas will be May 15 and 16, so it will be in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks from now.
The countdown has begun. Okay, Anna, you are plugged into all things HR tech. Tell us what HR problems tech is going to solve for us.
Well, I think it's multiple issues that we face in HR. And when I speak to HR people, most of them tell me that they have signed up for this job because they want to work with people. No one has signed up for the job to fill out the same forms and enduring processes all over again. So I think anything that automates processes and takes out the admin work of HR is definitely something that we all appreciate as HR practitioners. But I think there's also some unwanted human factors, I would call them, probably, that we are still struggling with, as an unconscious bias, for example. So if we can have tools at hand that help us making better choices when it comes to recruitment by the help of unbiased technology, if there's anything like that, then this is probably also something that we would also want. So those are two things that come to my mind, but I think there's so much more. And overall, if we can digitize HR better, I think HR will become a bit more sexy again, because HR was never a really fancy function in a company. Yet now that we digitize it more, it will really make a difference in the overall game of an organization. So I think that there's a lot of potential in there too.
And I think the secret sauce is having the people behind that technology and having that adoption factor, right? But you're on the right track. I hear you. I'm with you on that. I mean, these are really exciting times right now to be in the HR tech space. No question about it. What are the tools and ideas you've seen lately that you're really excited about?
Well, I'm really excited about tools that actually make a difference and change also fundamental beliefs we have in HR. There's so many legacy things, as in, why are we still working with CVs and resumes? Why are we still using job description? Is there anything that can probably substitute that? So I'm excited about things that are slightly more radical than just using technology to make existing things slightly better. On top of that, I also like new stuff. So things that we would actually create a whole new segment for. So you need to know that in my work, I actually segment all the startups I'm looking at. And whenever I find something that doesn't fit in any of the boxes I already have made, this is what obviously is really exciting. So in London, for example, in our London show in March, I ran into a company that's called Vault Platform. And they are trying to face the Me Too debate by building a counter-harassment platform on blockchain. So this is something that would have not been a topic probably, or not even a product, a year ago, but now is. So those are the things that actually are standing up because they're really innovation, not because they're blockchain, but because they also face a problem that is new. On top of that, I think I like tangible products. I want to see more tangible products and devices just in our space, things that are visibly changing the way that we work, as in the workspace, the workplaces, things that we will have on our desk that help us through the day. Obviously, anything that's digital will only exist on your screens, but where are those things that make a haptic difference? So more bots and robots, please, and more gadgets for what it's worth.
And let's hope that the people keep up with it, right? Because we need that too. We need that culture that supports sexual harassment prevention, like making that an imperative. Great stuff. I hear you. Like, let's make a difference with all this fancy stuff that we have at our fingertips. And literally, to your point, it is changing month by month. So we really need to keep up now. It's not just about listening and hearing all the latest. It's about actually adopting and deciding which tools you're going to use to solve that problem. What are some of the gaps out there in your, you know, from your position? What do you think is happening there when we talk about where we're not seeing technology emerge well
So I have a background also in corporate organizations, in large organizations, and I think that one of the problems that HR practitioners in those organizations still face is knowing the people that you know. So after an era of post and pray and also sourcing people all over social media, we now come to a point where there are no more candidates falling off trees in specific industries. And even though we can educate them and enlarge their skills, we still need to find ways to better leverage the people that we already know and have in our system. So why do you stop knowing about someone just because you hired them? How can you keep up with their interest, their curiosity, and their adaptability? So I think that tools are needed that help us detect skills in organizations and match them to specific jobs, speaking about internal mobility here. So I think this is a market that there are not a lot of solutions on this yet, but I think this is something that actually asks for more more ways of using technology in a smart way to tackle this problem, especially in enterprises.
I absolutely love the fact that you brought up the idea of cherishing, recognizing those people who are already here in your organization. Huge missing link right now. There's some really exciting technology when we talk about how are we actually proactively retaining talent. Very important there. How do you find new HR tech startups that are doing cool things? Because there's so much out there right now. Like, how are you wading through all the coolness?
Yeah, there's a gazillion startups out there. So I have a list. I maintain a list of startups, probably around 1,000 globally. And those are only companies that have started in the past 3 or 4 years. So it's a big market. And we've seen that also in the VC numbers that it's constantly growing, which is great. So my role also would be kind of working as an analyst or venture capitalist to actually source startups all over social media and networks. But I use tools like Crunchbase, obviously. Sometimes Kickstarter can be really interesting. As said, I'm looking at tangible devices and productivity gadgets. So Kickstarter is a good source for that. Instagram is sometimes surprisingly helpful. But most of the time, I actually connect with influencers and analysts in the market. I'm a people person, so I like to speak to people who see more than I do, especially in other geographic regions. I'm based in Europe. We have a show in the US. So those are the two markets we actually look at. But there is so much more. I just had a conversation with someone from Southeast Asia. There's a whole HR tech scene there. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to get hold track of it. Another thing in that space is also most of the companies I look at, they don't want to label themselves as HR tech. Because it's not as sexy as prop tech or fintech or injurtech and stuff. So some of them hide with other labels. So sometimes you really need to look closer at a solution to figure out if that actually changes something in the workplace. So this is a difficulty in our industry, that HR tech still is a bit of a not so sexy label.
Speaking of sexy and cool and global, where are you based right now? Talk to us a little bit about your background, because I know you've spent the past 18 years being socialized in some way or shape with digital companies, especially startups like you're talking about, and have held various HR-related roles. So I'd love for you to just tell the audience a little bit more about your background.
Oh, yes. I started, as you said, 18 years ago as an HR practitioner. I was lucky to start in an era where there was a big new economy and multimedia companies, as we would call them back then, for what they were labeled as startups. I was starting in a company called Lycos. You might still remember it. It was a search engine, and I started right after the IPO, and it was an amazing year, my first job ever. And I've been kind of stuck with startups ever since, because I like the way that they move fast, the things that they try, the experimental part of it, that they don't know where they're going, and the pioneer work, basically, that is part of a startup life. But I said I'm a people person, so I always love to look at the people that are in a company. I've spent various years in recruitment and executive search. I ran an executive search company for digital profiles. And then I worked for an incubator of a really big corporate called Deutsche Telekom T-Mobile. And then Unleash hired me just this year in February. So this is my track record fundamentally.
You and I have a pretty similar track record. There's a reason why I'm also going to be at Unleash, right? And love spending time with startups still to this day in my career as a former recruiting practitioner myself. So totally hear you. For me, it's at the end, it's all about people. But this technology is obviously a very key component for so much of the growth that we're seeing in the industry right now. So speaking of Unleash, you have had events in London, in Las Vegas, right? We've got that. Your final event of this year is in Amsterdam. What are you going to be watching for there specifically?
So all through the year, we have grown our activities in startups. This is why I was hired and started to join the team. So Amsterdam will be, just by size, the biggest HR tech dedicated startups zone we will have, which is really amazing. We will try out new formats on stage. You know that we have an Unleash Award, as in the startup competition. We will try to change this and make it and take it to the next level, basically. We have also started reaching out structuredly to investors. So when a startup actually attends our show, they not only get to meet people who will be potential buyers and clients, but also meet people who will give them money as investors. So we are growing the whole ecosystem here around startups, because we know this is the next generation of companies who will make a difference and change the face of HR tech. So this is why we invest a lot of time and resources on it and figure out what we're going to do there also in 2019. But for this year, it's just growing it and figuring out how we can take it, as I said, to the next level.
And that you are. I was at your first event last year here in the States, and I'm looking forward to Vegas. I get the honor of being a startup judge at the Vegas show. So that, to me, it's been mind-blowing how much great talent is out there. So I want to let you all know out there in the audience, I am watching you, and I am excited to be judging and excited for all of this growth that we're seeing in the industry and this focus, not only on cool technology, but on people and HR and making that an elevated experience as a career choice. I think tech often brings big questions about the way we work. What are the big questions you're thinking about right now?
Well, when I look at those solutions, I think that they're sometimes helpful, but they sometimes feel that they could be hurtful at another point too. So it always has two-sided, right? For example, when you look at skill detection, skill matching, as I said, at which point do we become too transparent? At which time do we reveal too much of ourselves for the sake of being developed in our careers and learning new things and getting matched to great jobs? But at what point do we feel that we lose the power over those information, and how do we deal with this? At what point is it hurtful, or does it feel scary if a company monitors all I do and all I write, or the chat that I do within my company on Slack, or the documents I create on Google? So at what point does it feel scary? And at what point do I feel I give away too much information about me? I think this is a question that no one can really answer yet, but I feel that we have to have that discussion. On another side, I see that we have so many point solutions out there, so many small solutions in the HR tech market. So HR people and practitioners, they can actually not get hold of it, but also they cannot manage it. They can't orchestrate a solution landscape of 100 different small things. So at what point do we feel that there's a more holistic approach, where will be more open platforms? How can we tackle this as HR people who are willing to use those solutions? But then again, we can't steer 100 different solutions at the same time.
Privacy, transparency, you nailed it, Anna, because I'm feeling that same thing. And I'm sure many, many people out there are going, where do you draw the line? Not only as an employee, but as a leader. How do you create a culture where you're actually accepting people for who they really are? I mean, I think we give a lot of talk to this whole idea of being transparent, but we've seen many, many cases of backlash, leaders having backlash on employees for saying things that maybe they feel are not within those cultural norms that they want for their brand and their company. Talk to us a little bit more about that, because I think this is a really key topic in terms of privacy and what we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, I had a discussion with the founder recently about that, because they're creating a platform where everyone can voice any kind of opinion about a company internally, but also externally. There are also solutions out there that give candidates the chance to interact with anyone in the company, to learn about how hiring processes work, how jobs actually are, salary structures and stuff that you want to probably just keep confidential as an HR person. But then again, people just talk, and you can't stop those conversations from happening, because we all know that we need to embrace transparency, but yet we feel that we lose control as a company. So I think this is it. I haven't answered this question myself for me yet, but I think that we as HR people should have that discussion. And this is why platforms like Unleash are a good starting point, because then we were all in a room with people who providing technology, people using a technology, and then we can draw exactly the line that you mentioned is, where do we want this to go, and what do we utilize it for, and where is it, as I said, where is it hurtful? And also when you look at blockchain, there's information that will stick with you as a person. And is that good? And who should be able to see this information? So I think that technology opens up whole new debates that we as a society, as organizations, as leaders and company need to ask.
And I think we have to be okay with the idea that people are not perfect beings. Technology is probably more perfect than people are. So I think we have a juxtaposition frankly, an issue on our hands to say, you know, at what point do we flex up as human beings and give ourselves a break to say that nothing's perfect? Are we creating a culture of perfection that's never, ever going to live up to this technology and this innovation? I'm pondering that myself, Anna, so I hope we can continue this conversation. It's an important one. So we've talked a lot about technology, but let's go back to HR people, right? In their role in all of this innovation. Very interesting. You founded a group called the Secret HR Society. I want to know more about that. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, it was a funny story. It's about 2 years ago where I was sitting with another HR person who was also part of a startup in Berlin, which is where I am. And we figured that we haven't met each other yet, but then we have similar interests, similar problems, similar questions. And I thought, okay, if there's two of us, there must be more of us. As HR people, especially in mid-sized companies, you're mostly alone, but then you struggle with a CEO or a management team that probably doesn't pay too much attention to HR, then you always feel left out. And you feel that you don't have good enough arguments to also invest in tech, to also change culture, change beliefs and assumptions. So this is why I created the Secret Society with that friend on that day and said, look, why don't we just create an open network where curious and innovative and actually eager HR people can join each other and talk about their day-to-day problems, their more strategic and tactical issues. So it's basically a community of people who are like-minded, who are thinking ahead of what HR should be in the future, and they can basically share questions and problems they're facing and give themselves any ammunition basically for the conversations they will have with their peers in their management. So it's you might call it a self-help group, but I think it's really powerful to network with each other. There are more organizations like this out there. This group is about several hundred people, mostly global. They obviously use social media and chats like chat tools like Slack to communicate with each other, and it has created its own dynamic now, which is cool. I like to see that.
I love to see that. I love it. Where do I find this? Can I be part of this? Will you invite me?
I would. It's a member referral society, and I would definitely refer you.
And where do we hang out? You're talking about Slack, but there's got to be a hub. Where's that hub?
So there's no physical hub. The main conversation happens definitely on Slack. There's also a Facebook group. We have a small website, but it's as I said, it's a secret society. So members are secret. Its existence is obviously not a secret. As I said, it's a small group. It's a small group of people.
I was going to say, it's Anna, it's no longer a secret. Let's tell the world about it, shall we? Listen, you know, I think a lot of HR people feel overwhelmed by all the tech options and startups out there. I know I do. My head's spinning. I can't imagine what practitioners right now are feeling. What's your advice for HR people who just want to understand what HR tech can do for them and their organization?
I think first and foremost, start somewhere. Start with a problem that you actually want to tackle and try to find people who either have tackled this before, so find peers, or look at those people who actually observe the market as I do, or analysts or influencers or thought leaders or whatever you might call those. But I think the prime advice I would give is just trial and error and figure it out. Go to those startups, talk to them, look at their solutions, have demos, meet them at conferences or HR tech competitions. Don't shy away from getting in touch with them. So starting somewhere is a fundamental belief, and I think this works here too. And experiment. When I was in my corporate payroll employment job previous to Unleash, I wanted to eliminate the CV in a hiring process, and I didn't know where to start also. But then I just spoke to a lot of startups who might have a solution. I spoke to one that actually provided video interviews instead, and I said, well, this might be a solution. Do you mind if we try this together? And they were totally stoked about the idea. So we actually sat down, we created a workshop, we created a new candidate experience and process, and then we eliminated the CV in my hiring process with their tool. And we figured it out and we labeled it as an open experiment. We did it for a couple of months. We did surveys. I told all my colleagues that we might shut it down if it doesn't work and stuff. And we just did it. And we changed it. We evolved it. A year later, I had changed it from video interviews to chatbots. So then I had talked to a chatbot startup in recruitment. I said, oh, I want to try this out. So I just tried it out in a small space where it wouldn't hurt. And I said, if you label it as an experiment, it's always okay to fail with it because then you just iterate and pivot the way that startups would build products, right? So start somewhere and just learn from it. No one has all those answers, but if you don't create your own experiences, you will never know. So on theory, it will never work. So just try it in a safe space, probably of your business, in a small group of your candidate pool, whichever works best for you.
So smart. Tell us, where is that experiment now? I'd be curious to hear a little bit about how chatbots are working or not working in terms of candidate experience.
I like chatbots. I'm a big advocate for chatbots. I think what they serve most is the need for instant information extraction for candidates. Most of the people looking actively for jobs, as we know, there are not too many of those. They want instant information. They don't want to browse long and lengthy career pages. They don't want to email to recruiters and ask questions. They just want to have an instant feedback on what's the salary for the job or where is it exactly located. I don't want to read those texts. I just want to ping a chat box and say salary. We saw that in our chatbot in my previous company, where people would actually not even be polite and write whole sentences. They would just write a word. They would just say dog to work. Can I bring my dog to work? Salary or stuff like that. And the reason that is because they know they're talking to machine and they're just extracting information so they can move on with the whole search for a new job for the next career development, because they will look at a lot of companies and a lot of jobs at the same time. And sometimes we don't give them the right and necessary information they would need in a job description or a career page that would actually make them turn from a candidate to an applicant. So the whole conversion game here is probably something that a chatbot can tackle. On the other side also, chatbots help us to get back to candidates and re-engage with those people that probably haven't applied yet, because most of those algorithms are smart enough to go back to a pool of people who have said that they're interested, but they haven't applied yet. So they can run campaigns on those talent pools, totally GDPR compliant and all those things, which are important to us in Europe here. What I could never do as a recruiter is, like, basically a chatbot would allow me to go back to any visitor of my career page, although they have never applied, which is massive if you think about this, the untapped potential of people out there that have just browsed my jobs.
Saving us a ton of time, there's no question about it. So thanks for sharing that insight. Finally, Anna, tell us how you stay inspired. What are you reading or watching right now that you're just loving, or it's making you go, I want to do that, like, now?
Well, I've got three kids in my house, so there's not too many too much time for quiet book and stuff. But funnily, in my old job, this is how I learned about Unleash. I was looking for conferences because I said, I like people, I like actual conversations, I like speaking to people and learning through conversations. So I like to go to events, conferences. This is where I get most of the inspiration from. Although I follow a lot of people on social, but then I try to take those conversations to be actual conversations, not just commenting in social feeds. So I source people, and then I wanted to talk to them on the phone. And this is why I love my job. I get to talk to people like you. I get to talk to people like all over the world who are smart and who think about the future of work. And this is where I get most of my inspiration from, apart from obviously attending our shows, which is where all those people mingle. And then you can hang out with them. If this is something that people want, if they want to be actually in a room with the same people physically, I think conferences and events like this are the best source for inspiration.
Thanks for listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'd be really grateful if you took a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find our show. If you know someone who would enjoy listening, please share it with them. You can learn more about the future of work at talentculture.com.